I'll take you to bring the message that we feel Gubbs would have us to bring. I'll not bore you, but I'll just speak very briefly because I want you to pick up one of these little leaflets on each side of the pulpit tonight. The Lord has thrust us into a ministry that we did not ask for, but to the contrary, we were asked to, by the state of Florida, to do this. We're sending tape players and tapes, gospel preaching, Bible study courses to prisons in the United States. Many folks today have forgotten how many prisoners there is in the United States. A lot of folks today said, oh, just an old prisoner, let's forget about him. Well, I'm going to tell you, my friend, if you've got that attitude, something's wrong with you. In one section that we're dealing with now, there's 4,000 prisoners. 4,000. 4,000 prisoners. 700 of those are murderers. 700 murderers. Many of them are on death row. We now have the last opportunity to get the gospel of the saving grace of God to them. And we're trying by and through the help of the Lord Jesus to do that very thing. We ask you to pray for us. This little leaflet will introduce you and inform you in a small way about what we're trying to do. God is blessing. We thank him for it. We send tape players and tapes and, as we said, Bible studies to prisons at no cost to them whatsoever. They're literally given to them. And then we try to help and aid missionaries if we can. Brother walked up today and said, I need some tape players. And I said, well, we'll just order them. And we ordered them today. We ordered, I believe, over about $518 worth of players today. And we're sending some of them to a federal penitentiary. Some of them will be going down to Mexico with our brother. And we want you to pray about this. We ask you to please pick up one of the little leaflets and read it prayerfully. And then do what God would have you to do. Would you stand with us while we read, please? I want to read from Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. My dear brother, Dr. Reuben Fields up in Indianapolis, a dear colored brother, he said, science has made great achievements. They have invented many things. But if they ever invent anything for being scared, I'm going to get me a whole lot of it. And I feel just like it. A lot of folks ask me if I ever get scared. Every time I get up like this, I'm frightened of the awesome responsibility that lays upon you. We're not here in a preaching contest. We're not here to gain or to seek the applause of men. We're here for only one reason, that's to please the Father. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, I want to read. You read silently, please. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Turn to Romans chapter 8, please. And verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for what our hearts have already experienced here tonight. Now, our Father, I ask you, Lord, as one of your children, I'm asking you, Lord, to touch me. I come before you, and you very well know I'm not trying to inform you, but Lord, you've not called me because I'm perfect, because I'm good, but you've called me nevertheless. And I thank you, Lord, tonight for that call, that divine call. And I pray, Lord, tonight that every preacher, every man of God that's been saved and called will pray for me just like they'd want me to pray for them if they were standing up here. Have your way now, Lord, and we'll wait before you and wait upon you and trust in you for the results of this hour. Lord, tonight, if you want me to make a failure and a flop for Jesus, I'm ready to do it. Whatever you want, Lord, that's what we want. We thank you and praise you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Many times I had read this verse wrong. And I dare say that many of you sitting here right now tonight, being human like I was, probably have read this verse the same way that for years that I had been reading it. One day in my private time of devotion, I was reading Luke 11 for my devotion. And suddenly the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, stopped me when I got down to this portion of the verse and said, Ed, you're reading that wrong. That's not right. And I backed up. Now, most of you may not be as dense and as thick-headed as I am, but I'm slow a lot of times. But I found that has quality too. But I read it just like I'd been reading it for years. Holy Spirit said, whoa, you read it wrong again. And I backed up and I read it again. Now you might not admit this, but I have to. Holy Ghost said, whoa, you read it wrong again. And here's what I was reading into that verse. I was reading, said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Now you say, well, I saw that a long time ago. Well, I didn't. The Bible said here, Lord, teach us not how to pray, but teach us to pray. Amen? Now maybe you're a whole lot smarter than I was. But I've been reading over that. Lord, teach us to pray. Man. Now, I want to just deal a minute on what prayer is. Prayer is not necessarily a bunch of words. Huh? Prayer doesn't have to be loud, nor long. A lot of folks, the reason they pray long at church, they're just behind with their praying and trying to catch up. Now, don't rush me. Prayer is not constructed, built. Well, now, you say, preacher, you ought to hear me pray. I remember one time, some time ago, we gathered like we do here in the South, and somebody said, let's pray. And everybody just cut loose to pray. I mean, concert style, you know, just pray. One feller out of a somewhat polished church said, I don't like that kind of praying. But I couldn't hear a thing he was saying. Feller spoke up and said, he wasn't talking to you, no ham. Just wasn't talking to you. Amen. Somebody said, oh, you'll hear some good praying down the church. I'm going to have to shock you a little bit, maybe. I tell you, from the shape our church is in, I don't believe there's been much praying going on down the church. I tell you, folks, you hear me tonight.
The best praying, if you want to refer to it as hearing, the best praying you'll hear, it won't be heard at the churches. Real praying I'm talking about. Real, genuine, getting to God praying. Amen? And if you're not going to get to God, why bother? I say, if you're not going to get to God, why bother? Did you ever hear anybody say, "Our Father"? Now, that fella ain't talking to God. He ain't trying to get to God. He's trying to show me those pie-shaped tones. How now, brown cow? I'm going to come on. He's trying to show me that he knows how. Our Father, we thank thee, Almighty Heavenly Father. Gag a maggot. Well, now you say, where is the best praying going on there? Where would you hear some praying? Where would you go if you wanted to hear some praying? Wouldn't go to church. But I tell you, I'd follow that ambulance that was a red light of flashing. And I'd drop in behind that car that Mom and Daddy was trying to get to the hospital the same time the ambulance did. And I'd get there just about the time that doctor came out of that room with a stethoscope around his neck and a worried look on his face and said, "Now, your little girl's got to have immediate surgery or she'll die." I'd ease over to the side as they rolled her out of that room. I watch you reach out with an anxious, trembling hand and say, "Honey, Mom and Daddy's right here." I'd follow you down the hall with those men with those things tied around their head. And I'd follow right close to you. And suddenly we'd come to those two doors that said, "Surgery, no admittance." And when you had reached over and tried to be brave and kiss that little cheek, and she had disappeared behind those doors, waving at Mom and Daddy, all of a sudden, you'd get down on your knees, and I'd hear some real praying. Amen? Doctors and nurses would hurry by, and you wouldn't pay no mind. Amen? It wouldn't be "Our Father." Amen? There'd be old salty tears dropping out there. There'd be people passing around you, and your face would be looking up to God and say, "Lord, my little girl's in there. Oh, God, I'll take care of her." Amen? Now, what's wrong in our churches? Too many prayers being prayed to be heard. See, you can pray the longest and outlast the other one. God said, when you pray, he said, "I want you to get in that closet and I want you to close the door." Amen. And then he said, "Your Father that sees you in secret, he'll reward you openly." Amen. Amen. You be what I'm preaching right now. Amen. Oh, our homes got in trouble when the family altar tore down. Amen. Your son or your daughter's in trouble if you haven't saturated his life with old-fashioned agonizing, I mean tear-shedding prayer. Oh, you said, "I know what I'm going to pray for." The Bible said we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but him, the Holy Ghost, he knows what to pray for. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, what's wrong with my Sunday school class? I'm going to say what's wrong with the average class is no prayerful preparation. Average preacher sitting here, your Sunday school's down. But if you're the preacher, you ought to be. When the crowd comes in, it'll be up for preaching hours. Huh? You say, what's wrong? I'm going to tell you, that Sunday school teacher, if you want power on your teaching, you oughtn't to go before that class if you haven't prayed at least 3 hours for the touch of God to be on you. There ought to be prayer. That'll saturate it, and God will use it down there. Amen. Amen. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Now, you know the Bible doesn't say that man ought always to sing. Huh? It don't even say man ought always to preach. But it does say that man ought always to pray. Amen? Man ought always to pray. I'm going to tell you something right now. What we need so desperately to our that we're living in is prayer. It'll change things. Amen. The Bible said, and when they had sang, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Did I miss that? Did I miss that, Billy? Did I sure enough? Let's see now. Well, I missed it. You sure? Well, that's what we do most of. We want our singing. 10 minutes of preaching. Sermonettes for Christianettes. They can't wait to get to the kitchenette to smoke their little cigarette. Amen. I'm going to try to get it right this time. Now you listen. Let's see. And when they had shouted. That's right, ain't it? Did I miss it again, Brother Turner? Well, we do a lot of that, Brother Turner. I'm going to get right this time. I'm going to get right, Kelly. And when they had preached, and when they had prayed, amen. And when they had prayed, heard somebody over there say conference. Did you hear that? Now it's time for our monthly conference. And you'll try to get something done, and a fella jump up and start milking that sanctimonious chin and say, Brother Moderator, ain't that something? And when they had prayed, amen. You can have more hell in 30 minutes of conference than you can get straightened out in 6 years. I pastored for 20 years, and you preachers may not agree with me, but there's not near as much need for so-called conference business as you let on like they ought to be. Amen. And if you was a pastor with a backbone like a saw log and about 2,000 pounds of don't care in you, and you was called of God and put there to lead the flock of God, you wouldn't need to know what the brethren wanted you to do nohow. Amen. I believe in pastoral authority. Amen. God, bless your heart. Amen. Amen. You say, well, our conference. Conference my foot. Oh, God. You know, sheep, and that's what God's people are, you know, sheep. I kind of hate to bring this up, but they're the dumbest animal alive. That's right. They can be raised on a farm, and you can take them around behind the barn, they don't even know where they're at, amen? David said, the Lord's my shepherd. I got to have a shepherd, amen? Can't you just see a shepherd going out to the flock in the morning, getting ready to go take them out to feed? Can't you just see him step up the gate and said, good morning, sheepies. Said, now then, sheepies, do I hear a motion where we're going to graze today? And can't you just see an old sheep get up and said, bat, brother moderator. Amen. Amen. I say amen. I say amen. Man ought always to pray. Amen. We was talking about old Brother Joe Parsons a while ago. Do you folks miss him? I mean, I do already. I just confess I do. I confess it. And somebody told me the other day that for 40 years, the old fella had been getting up at what time? 2 o'clock. And staying alone with God for an hour. Yeah, right. Well, we figured it out. For 40 years, he'd been doing that. And if our figuring's right, in the last 40 years, if he just prayed 1 hour each day, he prayed 2 solid years. Amen? 2 years. Amen. You say, I want power on my preaching. Pray then, amen. You say, I want power on my singing. Pray. Amen. Man ought always to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing, amen. You say, preacher, I haven't got time to pray. You're in real trouble, man. You're in bad shape. I don't want a man preaching to me that don't pray. I don't want a man singing to me that don't pray. Amen. Fact is, I don't want to mess around a fella too much that don't pray. Amen. Scared of it. Oh, you said, I made your own shouting. It's phony. Amen. You said, I like singing. No praying there. It ain't worth listening to. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Notice something else. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that man pray everywhere. Boy, that's covering a lot of territory right there. Amen. Bible said in James 5:16, talk about one another. I saw somebody shake their head back there. I must have missed that one again too, right there. It said, pray for one another. Well, bless the Lord. I tell you right now, I told him all. You ought to heard him, saw him when I got through with him. And I fixed him. Man, I tell you right now, he'll know somebody had a hold. I mean, I told him. How about let me stick my fist out and you run into it at 100 miles an hour? Pray for them that despitefully use. I found out the best thing in the world is when somebody's running you down, lift them up. Amen. You've heard the story, you know, that you can heap coals of fire on their head, praying for them. One old lady had a sorry husband, and she's suing for divorce. She went down to a Christian judge to get for divorce, and she told him she couldn't take no more of this. He told her that, said, why don't you heap coals of fire on his head? Said, it won't work, Your Honor. Said, how do you know? She said, I've already poured scalding water on him, and it didn't work, amen? Didn't work. Didn't work. Pray one for another. You said, Reacher, that was back up. Oh, let me tell you, that same God's still on the throne, amen? Daniel said, there's a God in heaven, and I believe that, amen. God said, if my words abide in you, and you abide in me, ask what you will, and I'll what? It shall be done unto you. You believe that? Say amen. Some time ago, I got a letter one day from the penal institution of the state of Florida. I looked at that letter and I said, they finally caught me. And I opened my thing and said, what in the world have I done? And it said, Dear Brother Blue, we understand that you have a taping ministry, and our state does not appropriate funds for religious purposes. Could you give us a few tapes? Said, we have 2,700 prisoners. We only have 6 tape players. If you could help us a little bit, we'd appreciate it. God began to deal with my heart. I went down to Florida, and I went and saw the man, and there was 4,000 prisoners in one area. I come back home and Sister Blue said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to pray. God told me, he said, I want you to get you a shovel, and I want you and Sister Blue to go out yonder, and I want you to stick that shovel in the ground and claim Jeremiah 33:3. We went out there and stuck that shovel in the ground and got down on her knees and said, Lord, you said, call upon me, and I will answer thee. And I'll show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Do you believe that? Say amen. We got out and prayed. I called her brother, and I said, pray. He said, I'll do it. One morning, 2 vehicles drove up in my yard, had Florida license plates on them. They said, we've come to pour the floor of a building. Men had drove all the way from Florida and poured the floor one day. Poured the floor. Other men, old Brother Isaac John and his men, came up and labored and toiled. 15 carpenters come in from Lenore City, Tennessee, and build the building. And God bless your heart, that's not all. There's a receipt upon the wall said, paid in full. Hallelujah. Amen. If I wasn't a Baptist, I'd shout all over this place. Amen. You said, what done it? God said, call on me and I will answer thee. Amen. I believe that. Amen. So many times today we run around here and there trying to work problems out, and God wants us to get on our knees and tell him about it. You've gotten some old ornery cussed church member that's about to make you climb a wall and you're about to die. You say, what I do? Pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I got a place I like to go to pray. There's a barn where I live up there, and a couple 3 old calves down there in the pasture. I like to go down that barn. There's some hay in there. I like to stick my head back under that hay. I like to pray. Like, here a while back I was praying. And I was done, you know, got highly intoxicated. I was about to step over in the third heaven. All of a sudden an old cow stuck its head in the door and said, boo. I said, me too. Amen. That's exactly how I feel. Amen. Well, you said, now wait a minute. I'm going to work this problem out. I can take care of this. I'm going to tell you right now, the best thing you can do is get on your knees and believe God for it. Amen. Amen. I remember so much. I remember so very well a lady I knew one time. Had the husband, couldn't get him to church. Wouldn't go at all. You're sorry, boy, I'm telling you. And you know that woman, I remember the morning when she come to milk. We lived just out from her. She went up the little old pine thicket. And every morning, rain or shine, she'd call on God on the behalf of that husband. I mean, she'd pray. I saw men come along the road here out there praying and get up and stop the car and take their hats off and stand there and listen to her pray. She'd pray every morning, every evening, every night. I pastored that church for about 3 years. Every day she prayed. One morning, going to church one Sunday morning, she passed by the house and said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "Come on." I said, "My husband's going to get saved today." Now, you can tell I was loaded with faith. I said, "Poor old thing." Well, you'd have done the same thing, amen? Well, she led that bunch of little cotton-headed kids to church. I got up to preach that morning, been preaching about 10 minutes, and the front doors come open. You don't know what you're talking about. You look up here. Look at me. You are now looking at 6'3", 220 pounds. Long, tall hillbilly that knows that the only kind of healing there is divine. Don't you run around telling me that Baptists don't believe it. We do believe that God's able. Amen. I told one year old back, I said, "You don't believe me." And I said, "Let me tell you." Said, "You believe in tongues?" I said, "What do you mean? Ela machine da ta bota?" "No, I don't believe in that. Never have believed in it. Never will believe in it." Amen. Don't you frown at me. I'm going to go ahead. I'm here to tell you right now, our church is short in the prayer department. We need some all-night prayer meetings. I mean prayer meetings. I mean prayer meetings. I mean prayer meetings. I mean prayer meetings. You believe that? Say amen. I remember when my daddy first actually got saved. You may have heard me tell this. I'd see him in the evening go down through the woods. He done that so much he'd wore a trail out. One day I said, "Daddy, can I go with you?" He stuck that old big finger out and said, "Come on, boy." I took off with him. Went down through the woods, down across the end of a field, crossed the creek on some rocks, went down through the, on the other side and the little edge of a field, went into the woods. At the bottom of a sweet gum bush, the weeds was all beat down. And he said, "Boy, this is where I've been coming to pray." And he said, "I don't know how to pray real good yet. But," he said, "we're supposed to get down on our knees." And my daddy that day gave me the greatest gift that dad ever gave his son. He never told me to close my eyes. And I looked at my daddy's face when he said, "Dear Heavenly Father." Daddy, if you haven't prayed with your boy, you've cheated him. Mothers, some of you mothers right here, next Mother's Day or after you die, they'll sing, "If I could hear my mother." And they say, "I never did hear my mama pray." They've never even saw you get out on your knees to pray. They've never heard you pray. I'd be ashamed. Amen. Brother Sammy, can I give an invitation? I want them to come to the instruments right now, right quick, ladies. Organ and pen. You know, we're short in the prayer department, folks. Come on, ladies, right quick, hurry. Don't do that. Don't see, the Holy Ghost will take advantage of every second, you lady. The devil will take advantage of every second. Don't ever. But old folks, listen to me. I remember my old dear brother Reuben Fields told a story. I can't tell it like he did. Play softly, ladies, very softly. Oh, Brother Reuben's my old colored brother up in Indianapolis, Indiana. Oh, I love him dearly. One of the greatest preachers ever met. I love him. Oh, I do. Brother Reuben tells a little story that I never have forgot. I can't tell it like he does, but it went something like this. He say, there was a mama what was sick. And said she had been sick so long. Said her little girl had sat by her bedside day and night. And said one day, it comes Sunday. The mama said, honey, why don't you go down to the church down the street and hear the preacher? The little girl got on his best dress and went down to the church. She got there late, and when she walked in, the preacher said, if you need anything, tell Jesus about it. And he closed. That's all the little girl got. She ran back home, thinking that surely the preacher had meant to write a letter to Jesus. She got her a pencil and said, Dear Jesus. The preacher said, if I want anything, just to tell you about it. And said, Jesus, Mama's awful sick. And my daddy's dead. And Jesus, we ain't got no groceries. And I'm awful hungry. And they've turned electricity out. And it's so cold in here. But the preacher said, if I want anything, just to tell you about it. She signed her name and put it in an envelope. Dropped it over in the mailbox. The next day, the old postman got it and went on back down to the post office and sorting the mail and said, to Jesus in heaven. He said, some fool's done wrote heaven. He said, we ain't got no delivery there. So I'll tell you what let's do. He said, it's got to be somebody crazy. He said, let's just open it up and see what it says. And he read aloud, Dear Jesus, the preacher said if I wanted anything, just to tell you about it. Jesus, Mama's awful sick. And Daddy's dead. We ain't got no groceries. And I'm awful hungry. They turned the electricity off. And Jesus, it's so cold. The preacher said, if I want anything to tell you, and I'm just telling you. One of the old postmen said, why, that little girl lives right on my raft. I didn't know her daddy was dead. I didn't know her daddy was dead. And I didn't know her mama was sick. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm gonna go get a doctor. And I'm gonna pay the bill. Another spoke up and said, yeah. And I'm going to get some groceries too. Another spoke up and said, yeah, now what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out of the power turned on. Oh, you said, wasn't she lucky? No. Call upon me, and I will answer thee. I'll show. Why don't we start believing that God will still answer prayer? Some of you preachers are wrestling with old burdens right now. The old song said, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. Some of you are getting ready to resign. You said, I'll tuck it as long as I can. God said, call on me. Amen. Some of your homes are heading for divorce courts. Some of you right now, what about the end of yourself? God said, call on me. Call on me! I will answer thee. Some of you kids are getting ready to shoot dope in your arm. Some of you right now, finances are pressing you sore. Some of you right now, temptation's got just about as strong as you can go. God said, call on me, I will answer thee. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from this world of care and bids me at my Father's throne. Makes all my wants and wishes known. You say, what can I do? Call on me. I will answer thee. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Some of your homes, the family altars tore down. Are you ashamed of your prayer life? Why don't you come on right now? Why don't you get up? Why don't you say, I'm going to pray? I'm going to get to God. I ain't even going to let the devil stop. I'm going to stay there till I pray. Hallelujah. You got some wayward children? You got some rebellious boys and girls? Why don't you pray them to God? Why don't you burn some midnight oil in prayer? Why don't you do it? I say, why don't you do it? Call on me. I will answer thee.